is everybody welcome. I always do, but sincerely, it's just good to get together. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. So there is an outline I mentioned in bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. The lesson comes from the text that was read to us. Now pull out the phrase, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. And again, key on verse 10, where it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. So we list a couple of questions to help us kind of work through the text itself. Five questions in particular. Number one is, who is the subject of the text? Well, it's your. Whatever your hand finds to do. So I'm looking at I and me and mine, individuals. Make it personal. I put in whatever my hand finds to do. I want to do it with all my might. My hand. So it's all of us who are alive. That's all of us here today. We're alive. Your hand. Your hand. Then the second question is, what's the subject of the text? Well, it's whatever your hand finds to do. It means anything. All things that we would do. No matter what type or kind or degree or quality, just the things that we have to do. Would include any task, any activity. It's all that we do in our course of daily life. Whatever our hand finds to do. It certainly has to do with our daily living, but I think we're going to make it especially in reference to our spiritual life. Whatever our hand finds to do in Christian living, in assembly, or in service, or ministry. Paul adds to the definition by using the word faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So in my stewardship, I want to be sure that I'm faithful. It means that I want to be dependable, reliable, constant, resolute, dutiful. Whatever my hand finds to do, my hand, make it personal. And the third question is, how should all of this whatever be done? Well, it's in the text. Do it with all your might. Remember, it's all your might, not someone else's. Whatever the task is at hand, I want you to give it what you have. Use your talent. Use your ability. Use your efforts in the task at hand. In other words, give it your best. Give it your gusto. Give it your strength. Whatever your hand finds to do, now do it with all your might. You know, it's all that we can ask of another. I just want you to give it the effort. And you can do that. It may not be what someone else's effort is, but the text is saying, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And you can do that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, for if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he has not. So I'm responsible for the ability that I have, for the effort that I can give. With the task at hand, do it with all your might. And you and I can do what we can do. And again, there's no expectation to do what others can do. Many times something comes up and I can't do that. But if it's my task, I want to give it my best effort. And also, did you notice The text is not concerned with the outcome. You see that in the text? It's not concerned with the result. There's no mention of the finished product. It's concerned with our might. It's concerned with our efforts. With our trying. It's concerned with using what we have. You know, when I was teaching students in special education, and we would write goals and objectives for our students. Obviously, they had limited ability. So the goals and the objectives that we would write many times were, their success was determined by effort. The student will try so many times. Or the student will stick with a task so many minutes. We're looking for effort. We wanted them to try. So even I put in your notes, I have a poster in my classroom wall. Triumph. Just try. With a little oomph behind it. And that's what we expected of our students, was to try. We knew that what they could do. We knew that result was impossible, but we wanted to measure your try. Saw this poster and I copied it to share with you. I don't know the author. The title of it is just the word anyway. That people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. No point. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. Anyway, give it the best you have. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. So when should we do this whatever? Well, we do our work while we're here, don't we? While we're alive. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2, Solomon said, "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" Meaning while we're alive. Jesus said in John 9 verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, for the night comes when no one can work." Meaning death. And because we're a people who die, you know, when we leave this life, we leave our work here. All that we do is left behind. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, "We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out." Now we can lay up treasure in heaven, but you leave behind your cash and your house and your car. You leave it behind. So whatever work that we have to do it now while we're alive. The last question, number 5, is why? Why should we do whatever our hand finds to do and we here and now? Why would I want to do that? He answers the question in the text, "For there is no work in the grave where you're going." Now, I can bury your computer and your phone with you when you die. I can put it in the casket. We can burn it, can't we, Dennis? Oh, we can't do that. No. send it to Nevada. We can't do that.
Can do that.
But I can bury your stuff with you, but you won't be using it. There's no work in the grave where you're going. He lists some other things in the text. It's not the, what you have written at the top, but it was in the text that was read to us. In the grave where you're going, there's no work, meaning our might toward our task is while we're on earth. And there's no device, he says, meaning after this life, there's no means to escape coming judgment. There's no knowledge, no information to be gained that's going to change our situation after we die. No wisdom. So I can't devise anything to change or overthrow God's plan. None of these things are in the grave. There's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you're going. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, the point is that the man wants to die and after the judgment. So I put the last thing in your notes. What's motivation or reason to do it with all your might? I broke this in because we're going to have someone say to us, nobody else is using all their might. Why should I? The people I work with aren't giving it their best. Why should I? Or there's some Christians over here that don't seem to measure up. So why should I? And so anytime we say to say that a person ought to do something, there should be a rationale behind it. If I say, or Solomon says, you ought to give it all your might, why, Solomon? There needs to be a good reason for such an admonition. Especially since we know not everyone's going to give it all their might. So I've listed a couple things to think about. Here's the answer. Even when as parents, our young children, or some of us, why should I do my homework? Here's the reasons. In Romans chapter 14, verse 12, it says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Amos 4, verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. That's why you want to give your best effort to your work. Someone said, most people would do their best if they had to put their names on the products they produce. Well, your name is on your life's work. Your name is on whatever your hand finds to do. Your name is on that. So there's a reason why we should give it our best, because we're going to have to give an account. Second is, that's all you can do. And I mentioned that in our lesson. Do it with all your might. That's all I can expect of someone. Remember, I'm not talking about the finished product. We're talking about effort. Number three is because of the alternative of not doing your best is doing less than your best. You're turning in work that even you know is not up to standards. And you have to live with the thought of knowing that you could have done better. And then think about this. You may develop a pattern or a habit of doing less than expected. I don't want you to develop that pattern in life. With whatever task our hand finds to do, I'm not going to give it my best. Put doing your best into practice. You ever used this illustration before, but you've ever heard the expression, practice makes perfect? Practice makes perfect. Practice doesn't make perfect if you're practicing incorrectly. Practice in that situation doesn't make it perfect. It makes it permanent. Practice makes permanent. Practice doesn't make perfect. For spirituality in your Christian living, if you're not practicing that which is correct, you got the lesson. It's going to make that permanent. If you're practicing a bad habit, it's going to make that permanent. So the alternative of not doing your best is doing less than your best. And you're practicing less than your best, and I don't want that to become a habit in your life. That's why Solomon perhaps is saying that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Because there's no work in the grave where you're going. We have to do it now. Number four, I just put it, the reward within itself. Give it your best because it's just the right thing to do. There may not be a reward immediately right back in your hand. But I'm going to do this task. I'm going to pursue this objective with all the effort I can. It's because it's the right thing to do. It's going to bring me happiness, peace of mind, and contentment. Just a good feeling in knowing that I've put forth my best effort toward God. And you will know that you've used all your might, even if others do not. That's part of the lesson. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it, whether others are or not. Because you know whether you're giving it your best. I just added a couple things here. Do your best, knowing that others care about you. God cares. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your care on Him, He cares for you. There's a heavenly host that cares. There's family. You know, whoever's around me, I want you to do your best. I'm not concerned with the finished product right now. I'm concerned about the effort you put into it. Not a friend, a brother. Concerned about the effort. Friends may care. And then the last one, doing your best will have an influence on others to hopefully to go and do the same. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first five verses, Paul complimented the brethren there in Corinth because he says, you know what your giving has done? It's aroused the folks over here in Achaia to give too to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Your giving has influenced them, so why should I do my best? Because it has an influence on somebody else. It does. So in closing, Hebrews 3 verse 15 says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. I want you to give your best to God today. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want you to give your best to God now. Obey while you can. And that's the lesson. That's the invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, if you're not a Christian, if you're not obeying the gospel, I want you to give your best to God His way. It's a simple kind of procedure of becoming a Christian. Number one, I want you to hear God's message. When Jesus commissioned His apostles, disciples, He said, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anyone out. God says, I want everyone to hear about my love. And then I gave my Son for them. I want them to hear that message, that good news message. And then number two, I want you to believe that message. Paul asked the question in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So you have to hear. You have to open that biblical message has to be presented, shouted out. It has to be believed. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. The Hebrews writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him, meaning God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. So I want to believe. Then there's a third process or step, and that's repentance. Jesus said it. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, He said, repent or perish. And I don't want to perish. So I want to hear, God, I want to hear Your message for us. And I want to believe it. And I want to turn my life around towards You. give you my best. And then number four, I want to confess by faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, because that's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. And in this sermon on Jesus, the Ethiopian interrupts him and says, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." And he made a confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And that's what we say before we're baptized. When these four things are in place, then you can be baptized. So when the Ethiopian made that confession, Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him. They come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. You hear me say it all the time. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. I want you to give your best to God. If you haven't accomplished your obedience to the gospel in this manner, you have that opportunity this morning. You're subject to it. You want to pray for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that. Once you've been baptized, then you've been born again. You've been had a birth into God's family. And from this point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we strive to be faithful till death. Revelation 2 verse 10. That's the objective. Just be faithful. You give it your best. I may not attain the faithfulness of somebody else, but I want to give my best in faithfulness. So that's the invitation. Then let's stand together and sing the song that He selected for us. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to come and be baptized for remission of sins, we accomplish that. So please, just let your request be known as we're singing this song by coming to the front and having a seat.